You pierce the darkness with the fiercest light. You'll be remembered, never die. Neon woman, bright and bold. You've been burned, but fire tests the gold. Neon woman, hear her roar. Don't you ever.
Oh, hi. Welcome back to the Neon Woman podcast. Today is the last episode for season two. Today it's another bonus episode with tarot reader Emily McGill. Emily joins me to do a tarot reading for all the listeners. So anyone listening, it will be applicable to you. She pulls three cards during the reading. What may help you on your path? What may hinder you on your path? And what is your potential? I actually recorded this interview really recently and it just resonated with me so deeply that I couldn't wait to release it when I was supposed to. So I decided to include it as the last bonus episode for season two because the cards that she pulled were spookily accurate to what I'm currently experiencing in my own life. And I feel like as a collective, we all tend to resonate with similar things at similar times, so I'm hoping that the cards that she pulls will resonate for you as well. We also discuss how Emily got started in tarot reading, and we do a deep dive into each of the cards she pulls, plus I ask her what it means to be a Neon Woman. If you'd like to see photos of the cards that she pulled, you can over at neonwoman.com. And just click on her show notes page and all of the information will be there. I can't believe that this is the end of season two. I've absolutely loved interviewing all 10 guests. And make sure you stick around because season three will be coming really soon. Enjoy my conversation and my tarot reading with Emily McGill. Emily, welcome to the Neon Woman podcast. Thank you for joining.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to have a tarot reading.
Yes, have you ever had one before?
Yes, so actually I grew up super spiritual. My mum was into tarot, crystals, Reiki, all of that stuff. I've had, apart from her tarot readings, I've had, you know, maybe one professional one. So, Excellent. But I own my own tarot cards and I do them. I wouldn't say I'm good at tarot, but I tend to do like once a week tarot draw for myself and see what comes
up. Excellent.
But I'd love to know first, like a little bit about your origin story. How did you get started in tarot and how you kind of got to where you are today?
Sure. Yeah. So I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is, you know, was originally a mining town, a coal town, steel town, USA, right? Like it's very industrial. But in the 90s, it had turned into a bit of an arts hub. And so there was a lot of great theater and dance and arts education available. So I grew up in dancing school and I doing theater and I always wanted to work on Broadway. And that was like my dream. So I had the opportunity to move to New York after I graduated from college where I did study theater.
Oh, wow.
But I always knew I wanted to be on the business side, not on stage. You know, once I learned that that was an option, I just didn't know then where to find it. So I ended up in a PR office and did Broadway PR for a long time, which was really fun. And about 7 years ago, my grandmother passed away and we were very close. And I decided to go to therapy for the first time in my life at that point. And to help me sort of move through it. And, you know, I have a friend who uses the analogy that, therapy is like inviting someone else into the attic of your like mind, heart, and spirit, and being like, okay, great. I want to find this bowling trophy that we can talk about. And they're like, cool, cool, cool. What about that Bob Marley record over there? And like, that's how, right. So that's sort of his analogy of therapy. And I always thought that was such a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Because you start to uncover so many different things. And my therapist is actually who introduced me to tarot.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really cool. We would pull cards during my sessions every now and again. And then at one point I was looking for a daily practice to invite as I was exploring my own spirituality. And in doing so, she was like, why don't you try pulling a card every day? And so I didn't own a deck. I downloaded an app on my phone and that's how I started. And I would just read a card on my app. And then pre-pandemic, I was gifted with my first deck. And that was a really cool experience, you know, getting finally like hard cards in my hands that were mine to play with. So I started reading for people. And then of course the pandemic hit. So all of my readings went virtual. And I've been doing it, doing the online reading thing ever since.
Wow, that's amazing. So was it, I mean, you said the where you lived in the 90s was, it was like a mining town, but it had that kind of edge to it for this kind of thing. Was it like a surprise for you to step into that spiritual side of things?
I think so. You know, I use the wrong language when I said mining. It's really more of like a steel town. So it's like lots of steel mills, but still like that really industrial feeling that, you know, mining is like a really excellent, translation of it as well. Like that same essence, but Pittsburgh and especially my family is also very Catholic. So I was raised Roman Catholic. I went to Catholic school, until junior high. And I even did a year at Catholic University. So I had, and my parents to this day go to church every Sunday. They're super, you know, I wouldn't say super religious. My mom is pretty religious, but it's been really interesting because I kind of started to push away a lot of the concepts of the church when I was in high school. And it's definitely in college. I was like, I'm not on board with a lot of these beliefs and practices. Like this is not for me. I think that there is, you know, another way to look at it, but I didn't want to take any looks. So it wasn't until I started in the therapy process where I actually started thinking about like, what is my own spirituality? What is my own belief system? What is my higher power? How do I see her? How do I experience her? What is that? And so that's been a really fun exploration. I feel like I'm kind of playing in this essence of what are my beliefs?
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely. Well, Thanks. Let's get into our tarot reading.
Yes. Okay, great. So today I'm using a deck that's called The Wild Unknown. Which you may be familiar with. It's beautiful. I love this deck. All of the cards are animal imagery.
I love them.
None of them are humans, which I think is really fun. And they're just so beautifully drawn. So I know you're familiar with the tarot. Do you think most of your readers are as well? Listeners, I should have said listeners.
Probably, but maybe just in case, give like a little background.
Sure. Yeah. And if you have anything to chime in with, feel free to do so.
I was just going to say, does it matter when this airs as to no?
I mean, we can acknowledge that we're doing this on, well, for me, it's November 3rd. For you, it's November 4th, which is a new moon in Scorpio.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's a new moon in Scorpio and the sun's in, because the sun's in Scorpio. So new moon in Scorpio as we're recording this, but I think, you know, do you want to do this reading for you personally or as a general reading?
Probably just a general reading.
Okay. Then I think that we acknowledge that this is happening, you know, in the wake of a new moon or in just before a new moon, but also that anyone listening to this, anything that resonates will resonate exactly at the right time. Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Like
whoever, you know, if someone's listening to this in January, it's still going to resonate for them in the moment because it's information that they needed to hear.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the tarot, right?
I know. I love it so much.
So good. So, yeah. So for anyone who's kind of unfamiliar, I always like to say the tarot is a way to visually represent or externally represent information that we hold within ourselves. Mm. Usually it's in our guts or our hearts and hasn't made it our way to our heads just yet. And so this helps us kind of see that information in a different way. The structure of a tarot deck is there are two major parts to it. We've got, of course, the major arcana, which are our magic cards. When they show up, we pay special attention to those. They're numbered 0 to 21. So there are 22 of them, and they correspond to the human soul's evolutionary journey. So we start out with the Fool, who is at the very beginning of their journey, like, and away we go, we're off to see the wizard, right? This is the first step. They're full of wide-eyed excitement, naivete, very trusting. And then we go all the way up through the world, which is that completion energy. So that's very whole, it's very healed, holy energy. And so we've got, you know, all of sort of the spectrum of experience in between, right? And then we have our minor arcana, which is set up more like a traditional playing deck, right? 4 suits. Each suit corresponds to one of our elements. So wands are fire. That's our passion, our drive, our creativity, the stuff that lights us up, that gets us out of bed in the morning. Then we've got our cups. So that's water. That's our emotions, our feelings, that watery landscape that many of us try not to play in on most days.
Yep.
Right. Then, of course, we've got our swords, which is air. So that's communication, knowledge, intellect, mental state and ability, technology, language, right? Like anything sort of in that air world. And then finally, we've got our pentacles or discs or coins, and that's our earth. So that's our physical, our material, and our manifest. And then, of course, also with the major or the minor arcana, we've got our ace through 10, just like a traditional playing deck. So those are our pip cards, and they kind of correspond to experiences that we have in our life or moments or situations we move through. And then the court cards are, they're actually 4 instead of 3, right? So usually it's a jack, queen, and a king. In the minor arcana, we've got a king and a queen, a knight and a page. Sometimes you'll see prince and princess. This deck is more of a traditional family structure. So it's father, mother, son, and daughter. And they correspond to either the people in our life that have these sort of qualities of these cards or those qualities within ourselves. So that's kind of the quick rundown I usually give with folks that aren't familiar with the tarot, just to help kind of gain some sense as to what the cards are doing when we're looking at them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything that you would want to add from your years of working with your mom?
I guess not so much working with her, but when I do it for myself every week, often you pull a card or a couple of cards and you look at it and you're like, well, or you read the book and you see what it says. And it's not always obvious. It's not like, oh yeah, that's what that means. And to begin with, I used to think, well, it's not accurate. But it's often what I do is I put the cards on my nightstand. I have like a little spiritual altar kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
Or I put one under my pillow when I sleep and see what dreams come up.
Yeah, because,
for sure. Or often I'll get to the end of a week and I'll be like, well, those cards didn't really like materialize into anything. But like you said, it's often stuff that you haven't even realized is inside of you yet.
Yeah.
So it goes a lot deeper than surface level, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we're going to do a 3-card spread today. There are 2 different versions that I like to do. And so I want you to feel in and tell me which one we're doing today.
Okay.
So one, of course, is past, present, future, which is always a good one. The other one I love is what will help you, what will hinder you, and what is your untapped or unrealized potential?
Mm, that one.
Great. I was hoping you were going to pick that.
That resonates with me at the moment, so.
Excellent. Perfect. And since this is a general reading, I would ask, like, what are we exploring? But since we want to leave this open to everyone's individual interpretations for themselves, maybe we can chat about it a little bit afterwards. And yeah. we will yeah. throughout as well as to how it's kind of resonating for you.
Yeah.
All right. So let me one more shuffle and then you're going to cut the cards for me.
Okay.
So you are just going to tell me when to stop.
Stop.
All right. So our three card pool, what will help you, what will hinder you, and what is your unrealized or your untapped potential? Oh my goodness. What will help you? The Sun of Cups. Now look at these cards. I think I maybe got to turn this light down so that you can
see that good.
It up before it goes down. Sorry.
Yep.
So these cards are so beautiful. So this is our Sun of Cups. So remember our of course, that the cups are our water, our feelings, our emotions. And the sun is that sort of second character that we meet, right? In the court or the family, right? We meet the page or the daughter first, the knight and the son second, the mother, and then the father. And so it's also sort of, you know, that kind of also follows that human soul's evolutionary journey, right? Of the page is that very young, you know, very youthful, childish, childlike energy. Mm-hmm. And then in the sun or the night, we tend to get a little more of that action oriented, like leap before you look kind of thing, right? Kind of like teen angst sort of vibe we get in there. And then we have the mother, who is that very like nurturing sort of like, as we learn to care for ourselves and take care of ourselves and self-care and all of that looks like. And then the father, you know, tends to be that sort of really structured, like at the top and the pinnacle of the expertise of whatever that suit is. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we have our son in here. And I love that in this deck that it's like swans and geese, sort of like looking birds that are for these. And the thing I love about that is that you, like the cups, that's our emotions. So this is all about how we emotionally move through the world. And I think this is saying a little bit like that wearing your heart on your sleeve maybe is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, because, and the other thing is that the exterior appearances don't always reflect what's happening under the water, right? Mm-hmm. Because we can't see how hard this little guy has to work to like paddle his little feet and move around in the water. Like, we don't see that part.
Yeah.
You know, we only see this beautiful cup that is literally overflowing. And I think that this is a little bit of like that splash in it, play in it, like let the emotions be the emotions.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
Is that resonating for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The wheels are turning.
Of course. Of course.
So what will help is to play in the emotions.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Right. Because the more we give ourselves infinite space for all of the flavors and colors and textures of emotion that happen in our lives, the more flavors, textures, and beautiful things and colors we have in our lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's you know, as you do one thing, you do everything. Mm-hmm. And so if we're doing it in an emotional place, which is the hardest place to do it, if we want to be honest, right. It's so hard to get playful when you're like, I don't know. Can I swear on your podcast?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, great. I wanted to check. But if you're like, I fucking feel like these emotions are going to kill me right now. Like, how do you play in that? If it feels really big, you know, I don't know about you, but for me personally, my emotions sometimes feel like a tsunami. And I'm going to drown.
Yeah. I'm learning to like feel them as opposed to just shoving them down.
Totally. Yeah. And I can personally say I've learned that the more I allow the full emotional experience that I need to have to organically happen, the more clarity I have on the other side of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm learning that too.
It's a messy, messy lesson, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I love that one.
Yeah. So that's what's going to help us is like really like being, fully being in those emotions and being active in them. Mm. The sun is a very active card. All right. This is what will hinder us.
Oh, God.
And this is the Father of Wands.
Ooh.
And so in this deck, the wands are snakes. And you can see he's holding his wand and it's being lit by lightning. And remember, wands, that's our passion, our drive, our creativity, what lights us up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what this is saying is like, we need to keep tending those fires and finding new ones.
Mm.
Right? Like we can't get stuck in the like, this is the one thing that lights me up.
Mm.
Right? We can't get stuck in the I found something that lights me up, I'm done. Right? Yeah. When we get to the pinnacle of that one, we got to start at the next. You know, the pinnacle of any one fire is the beginning of the next one, the spark for the next one rather, right? Yeah. And so I think that's what I'm vibing with on this. Let me feel into it for a second, cuz I don't want to jump to conclusions, but that was the first sort of instinct I had with it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, I'm currently on a path where I'm trying to pursue in life what my true passion is,
mm-hmm.
which to me is being a creator and creating things.
Yeah.
That includes writing. It includes Neon Woman. And on the one hand, I have people saying to me, you know, you can do everything, which is true. Like, I do want to build Neon Woman. I'd love to become a writer. So I'm like, well, cool, I can do it all. But then I have other people saying, choose a lane and stay in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to write, do writing. But what that is saying to me is, if I just go down the lane of writing, great. But then you can still go down the path of doing all the other creative stuff you want to do.
Right. Why not go down every path that you're interested in exploring?
Which is what I was already thinking anyway, but.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, don't limit yourself.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. When you were talking about that, like following the one lane or exploring other paths, I know this is a fire card, but I saw like a river delta. You know what I mean? You know how like the mouth of the Nile is such like this massive delta, and we get all these other small little islands and streams and rivers, right? And like that's kind of what, that's the vision I sort of had when you were like, it doesn't have to be this one path.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like pursuing one path is what I have done mm-hmm. my whole life. It hasn't been anything to do with creativity.
Sure.
But I know that at my core I am a creator, so that involves more than one thing.
Yeah, it does.
If you're a creator, you don't just do one thing,
right?
Yeah, that resonates.
Excellent. I love that.
I
Cards
love how,
never lie.
No, I love how this is for everyone listening as well, but it's
mm-hmm. But as you're the one holding the space for it, and it's your audience and your listeners,
well, yeah,
of course it's going to be, you know, through your perspective and your experience, which I think I love that too, right? It's because then it goes through your perspective and your experience into their perspectives and their experiences.
Yeah. See, oh, it's just
great.
Wonderful.
Right. And we're all connected, friends.
Yes.
All right. Are we ready for our untapped and unrealized potential?
Yes. I'm interested.
We got our first major arcana card.
Ooh.
We got the Hermit.
Ooh. Okay.
So the Hermit is number nine, which is the 10th card, right? Because the Fool is a zero, the numberless number.
Mm-hmm.
So this is halfway through that major arcana, right? We're almost to that halfway point. And talking about how that's that emotional, spiritual journey that the human soul takes in evolution, the Hermit is the half, is almost the halfway point, and it's the opportunity for us to sort of go within, mm-hmm. right? Like, we see this as a hermit, as a turtle or a tortoise in its shell with this beautiful light and candle sitting on top of it, right? And it's like the light is within us ourselves.
Mm.
And this is, I mean, this is what you literally just said to me, right?
Yeah.
Everyone else says stay in your lane, but I know what I need to do for me.
Yeah.
And that's your unrealizing or untapped potential. Anybody that's listening, and this is like me included, right? Like, this reading's for me too. This is information that I need to be knowing. Your power stands in your ability to explore your own internal depths and figure out what lights you up. And it's not just one thing that lights you up,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a lot of stuff that lights you up.
Yeah.
It helps, you know, and like, it almost feels like, and we can see, if you look close, you can see that's an oil lamp.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, it's not a, you know, it's not like a candle or a flame or something, right? I mean, it is a flame, but it's an oil lamp. And it's like gather the oil.
Yeah.
Like gather the things that are yours that light you up, and put those in your little oil, you know, oil lamp for the moments that we need a little help lighting up. Because as you said, it's not every moment that we're going to be, you know, feeling the positivity and like the natural inclination to move forward.
Yeah.
That doesn't, you know, that's not every day. Sometimes we need to sit quietly with ourselves and refuel.
Yeah, absolutely. I have goosebumps.
Oh, yes. I love it. The tarot never lies.
Amazing.
So this is resonating for you for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, I love looking at them together too, right? So this is right. And this is your left-hand side, correct?
Okay. Yes. Yep.
I always get confused between Instagram and
like the mirror image.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. But I love this because we can see too, you know, it's also interesting when we talk about what will help you, and we see this beautiful swan. For those that can't see this, that are maybe listening, this is a really light colored card. There is not, you know, there are some beautiful line drawings behind this one, but it's almost a white card. It's, or a light gray. There's a little bit of color coming out at the top of the cup when we see the cup overflowing, but then we get into what will hinder you, which is this Father of Wands. And it's a very dark card. We see the snake is in white. And, you know, the wand that's there in the card itself is light colored. And then we've got our lightning bolt, which is kind of, you know, ombre from red to yellow, but it kind of see, like, we see this as a darker card, right? Like that's something that maybe is less helpful in the light. But then we come to this, your untapped and unrealized potential. And we have sort of the two meeting, right?
Yeah.
We see the lightness of the tortoise and the light that's emanating from the oil lamp on its back, but like in darkness.
Yeah.
And so I always love to look at them together too, how they relate to each other.
Yeah, I love that.
Yes. They're so good. And I'll take a picture and send it to you so you can include it.
I normally put the pictures in show notes.
So perfect.
People want to listen to it and go to the
show notes. Yeah, and check out the cards. Cool. I love that.
It's amazing. Excellent.
And here it's 3:33.
Oh, I have been seeing.
On the third.
For the last like 2 weeks, every time I look at a clock, whether it's my watch, my phone, anything.
Uh-huh.
It'll be 11:11. 3:33, 2:22, 5:55, like all of that.
My best friend and I, when we catch them, we text them to each other and we're like, we don't know what spell we're casting right now. We're just keep sending each other repeating numbers though.
Yeah. And the other day, because I have a dual clock with Australia and the UK on my phone, it was 11:11, 11:11. Oh no, 11:11, 1:11 for the two times.
Amazing.
Like, wow.
Love it. I love it. The universe is always speaking to us.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That resonated so deeply with me.
Good. I'm glad.
If people are listening and they've listened this far and they're, you know, a bit unsure, or they're like, oh, you know how people think that they don't understand how tarot can resonate for everyone?
Sure.
Like, oh, maybe it's just coincidence. What would you say to them about where to start?
Just try it. Just try it. Whether that means you go, you know, there's some tarot websites that you can go and click on and just like pick a card, like electronically, it'll do it for you. And like, just try it. Just like, but do it with intention and purpose.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have the more clarity you have in asking the tarot what you want to explore, the more clarity you'll get from the cards, right? So if someone's specifically like, I want to explore, you know, career or relationship, which are the two most common that, you know, that folks always love to know about their lives and their experiences here in the physical realm, like, really think about it. Like, this is the question I have. And then, you know, have one of those websites pull a card for you and see, or, you know, find a tarot reader online. There are so many witches on Instagram. Oh my goodness. Like you find so many tarot readers so easily. So, you know, but curiosity is also, such a more delightful way to move through the world than fear. And that's something I'm personally working on myself too. So.
Yeah. And the way I see it is, you know, I truly believe there are no coincidences. Like, it's not a coincidence that you and I are having this reading now.
Not at all.
And that those cards came up.
Yep.
There are no coincidences in life. You meet people at the time you're meant to meet them.
Correct.
People leave your life at the right time. That they're, you know, the whole thing. I could have such a deep conversation about that. But
right. It's like the seasons of life. But also seasons can happen inside a moment. They can happen inside a day. They can take, you know, they can take decades. I mean, there are so many different cycles that are happening at any given moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, where can people book a tarot reading with you?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Emily Ann MCG. That's A-N-N-E, in my Ann. And my website is emilymcgillentertainment.com. And on there, there's a 25% off code if you're interested in booking a reading that is 30 or 60 minutes. You can use the code that's right on there. It's CUPS. I like to use tarot themed codes. So that's the friends and family code. If anybody's interested in booking, they can do that.
Perfect. And just, it would be similar to this, just so people know what to expect.
Yes, we would do a Zoom reading, similar to what we did today, or FaceTime, depending on, you know, the best communication, tools for whoever is booking. I also do group readings. I've done that in the past. I was actually invited to read tarot for virtual Burning Man this year, which was so cool. Yeah, I got to read tarot for people all over the world, which was really awesome. So yeah, you can, you know, inquire about group readings and events. I do events too. So, you know, whatever anybody's looking for, if they're looking for some tarot.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Can I ask you one last question that I like to ask everyone?
Absolutely.
What does being a neon woman mean to you?
Standing in your full self with all the lights on.
I like that. Yeah. Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Enjoy your beautiful new moon day.
Thank you. I will. Thank you for listening to the Neon Woman podcast. Neon Woman was produced by me, Chloe, and Neon Network Production. Make sure to follow us on Instagram or check out neonwoman.com for all the latest episodes, blog posts, and more.